This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
This grade 12 lesson is proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.
Good evening, my lovely learners. We are meeting again. I'm Mr. Magia SR, attaching to the first school, which is Petersburg Circuit under Cape Prison South. Then tonight's topic is based on genetics. And remember, this genetic test is almost 48 marks. 48 marks. Now, in the end after presenting tonight, I'll be left with four lessons. Then the other lesson will be on Saturday. I'm also going to continue with genetics because I'm going to be very slow so that at least you are able to grasp almost everything. Now, the last three lessons that I will also announce immediately after the second lesson that will be presented on Saturday, it will be based, or they will be based on evolution. The first one will be evolution sort of based on natural selection, whereas the other one will be evolution based on humans. And the last topic I'll be guiding on how to deal with the exam. Then that will be the last lesson. But for tonight, as I've already indicated, we are going to continue with genetics. So I want you to write it down. Just write genetics. And then if you check the word genetics, and then you check the first four letters, that is gene. That is gene. I want to show you the relationship of a human being and the gene. Now, remember, you are a human being, which is an organism. You are made up of many systems, like reproductive system, digestive exchange system, endocrine system, and so on and so on. But those systems are made up of organs, and then many organs are made up of tissues. Many tissues are made up of cells. Now, from here, then the cell, inside the cell, we find the nucleus, and then in the nucleus, we find the chromosomes, and then the chromosomes, we end up also finding the DNA on the chromosome. From there, we end up also finding the gene, the DNA. That's why when we define a gene, we say a gene is a small portion of the DNA that codes for a particular characteristic. This is the background of what we're going to present tonight, so that you understand what is it all about, genetics. Now, with genetics, when you define it, it is simply the study of heredity, and the variations that occur in the transmission of hereditary characteristics. I want you to write it down again. Genetics is the study of heredity and the variations that occur in the transmission of hereditary characteristics. But in simpler terms, or in other words, in genetics, we study the similarities and also the differences between related individuals. Let me give you an example. When you check a particular child, maybe you realize that some features are similar to the features of the father, whereas some are similar to the features of the mother. So in other words, those features that are similar to the father and also similar to the mother, then we're talking about similarities. And remember, we're talking about related individuals. In this case, now we're talking about the father and the mother and also the child. Now, you realize that some of the features that are similar to the mother, but they are not similar to the father and the father, and vice versa. Now, I'm going to check exactly what is it that has happened. Now, the other thing that you need to take into consideration is about a genome. Genome, G-E-N-O-M-E. This one is a complete set of genes. Complete set of genes of a particular organism. Complete set of genes of a particular organism. For example, the human genome consists of about 25,000 different genes, 25,000 different genes. It is like when you're talking about the chromosome in a cell of a human. Remember we said a human cell, more especially the somatic one, consists of 46 chromosomes. Can you see that when we talk about chromosomes in a human cell, we're talking about the total number of 46 chromosomes. But in this case, when you deal with the genome, it's when you deal with the complete set of genes of a particular organism. Now, this complete set that we're talking about, like I've already indicated today, the human genome consists of 25,000 different genes. Then that's a complete set that we're talking about. But the other thing that we need to take into account is about the founder of genetics. The founder of genetics, with Gregor Mendel. Gregor Mendel, you can spell it down. G-R-E-G-O-R, and then Mendel, M-E-N-D-E-L. It was very vital for you to know this. Like when we get to genetics, we want to talk about what's in Greek and so on and so on, because those guys are very important, because to a certain extent, you may realize that examiner is going to ask you questions, more especially under the objective questions, specifically maybe on the machine type fragment, say. Maybe it says the founder of genetics. Then they say A, or the father of genetics. A, Gregor Mendel. Maybe B, Watson and Crick. You need to know that of genetics is about Gregor Mendel. Now, before we continue with a lot of information based on Gregor Mendel, I think it is very vital for me to show you the two laws that underpin or that fall within the parameter of science. Now, let us check the first one, because normally this law gives learners a lot of challenges. Well, what two laws? The first one, law of segregation, and then the other one is law of independent assortment. Law of segregation and law of independent assortment. I'm going to define it, but before defining this, I don't want you to claim this. I want you to understand what's happening. Then after explaining, then that we're going to coin up down our definition. Now let me start with the law of segregation, or Mendel's law of segregation. Number one, you need to know that to segregate means to separate. To segregate means to separate. Now, during meiosis, homologous chromosomes pairs, we're talking about the pairs that carry or let me simplify it like this. You have to remember that when we're busy with monoidal crossing, although I'm still going to discuss it today or tonight, number one, let me say we're crossing black with white, and then when we check black under phenotype, remember we've got the T1, the right phenotype. So that's what I would say, black crossed with white. And then let me say black is dominant in this case. And then maybe all the screen are going to be black. But now, the genotype in this case, so I'm going to write capital letter B for black, cross small letter B for white. I'll explain why, because we're still going to discuss this. But I just want to highlight something based on this. Now, from there, I'm sure you remember that minute after the genotype, you have meiosis. And then just below meiosis, inside of you, capital letter B from the genotype now, these two gametes now, they're going to be separated. In other words, I'm going to have B, comma B, crossed with small letter B, comma small letter B. So in other words, these gametes are now separated. And as long as you think about gametes being separated and also including yourself, then you're fine. You may coin it the way you want to coin it, but as long as you understand this, then you're going to define. But maybe to help you, you're going to say, during meiosis, homologous chromosomes pair, in brackets, maybe you say, that carry pair of alleles to control hereditary characteristics, in brackets, they separate from each other. Can see that the word separation is there now. And remember, I said during meiosis, the meiosis that I talked about, And then remember, when we talk about the allele, I told you that allele is like one letter. And when you talk about the genotype, it is about monohybridity. Genotype cannot be one letter or one allele, because it's either it's homozygous or heterozygous, and the homo means the same, hetero means different. So in other words, the genotype for monohybridity is made up of two alleles. So in other words, you cannot say genotype, then you write capital letter B, because it should be homozygous or heterozygous. But now this is exactly what I wanted to bring forth with regard to the law of segregation. But the other one is about law of independent assessment. This one is clearly visible when we see with the dihybrid sourcing. Just draw a square right now. I'm going to guide you about this. Just write a square. And it should be a little bit bigger. Then we draw a square. Then divide it into four. Draw a line that is cutting across at the center from top to bottom, and the other one should cut across from left to right. In other words, it's like you're drawing a cross inside that box. So we mean that in that box, you're going to end up having four boxes, four small boxes. Now, let me say, just on top of the first part of the box, you write take letter R, take letter Y. Then on the left-hand side of the first box again, you write capital letter R, capital letter Y. Let me say this R stands for red, or I'm surround, and the letter Y stands for yellow. And it's applicable in both instances. Now, if you are going to write the guidance in this case now, instead of writing, I'm the genotype, instead of writing small and capital letter R, capital letter Y, capital letter R, capital letter Y, you are going to end up getting capital letter R, capital letter R, capital letter Y, capital letter Y. Can see that now this have arranged themselves accordingly. In other words, this is they've sorted themselves independently. In most instances, when I was explaining this to my learners, I said, let me say now I have males and females in one class. Then I tell them that now you are going to the other group. In fact, males should be in the library, and then females should be in Mukwana's class, because that's over the teacher. Now, I'm not going to run around maybe trying to check a certain limit. Males are going to be the other side, and the females are going to be the other side. Males know themselves, and then also females know themselves. When I go to the library, always I'm going to find males, and then the other class I'm going to find females. In other words, males and females have sorted themselves independently. That is the example that I can give. But now, specifically when you deal with this, it's about round and yellow, and then remember round is shape, and then yellow is color. When we have RY and RY on the other side, but when you arrange them, we are going to have RR, YY, not RY, RY. So can you see that round and shape, which is, remember, round is a shape, and then Y, which is yellow, is curl. They arrange themselves accordingly. Now, when we define this, I just wanted to give you the keys of this. But how do we define this? Members of independent assessment say that the various factors controlling the different characteristics, like an example that I just given, that you say the seed shape, or the seed color, or the plant height, or the flower color, are separate entities, not influencing each other in any way, and sorting themselves out independently during gamete formation. Remember, the example that I've been giving is about the gamete. When I said RY and then RY, but inside the box I'm going to have RRYY, then the guys that are from there, they saw themselves independently. So capital letter R, not RY, RY, capital letter R, remember that stands for round, which is the state and that capital letter Y. That is the color yellow, and that obviously that is the second character, which is color. Can you see that they saw themselves independent? Very simple and straightforward. So this is how we are going to know how to define this. And then now tonight, the only thing that we are going to discuss is about the five core categories of monohybrid protein, and also to deal with genetic cross. But now we are going to have five categories. Number one, we need to know how to do genetic cross of complete dominance, how to do a genetic cross of incomplete dominance, how to do a genetic cross of poor dominance, and also how to do a genetic cross of blood groups, and also the sex-linked inheritance or sex-linked disorders. Now, remember, the crossing is just the same, but the difference lies on the genotype. I'm going to show you how the genotypes differ from each other of these five categories. But maybe before that, remember I said the genetic cross is just the same. The only difference lies on the genotype. Let me say, for you to be able to write the genetic cross, the skeleton, you may decide to bring out the name of one person in class whose name starts with maybe P, and then the surname starts with M. Now, cool descriptor C talks about Peggy Masipua. He said she gets favor forever. Then you write Peggy Masipua, gets favor forever. Then P, Peggy starts with P, and Masipua then M, gets then G, favor F, and forever another F. So you write them moving down. You write T, M, G, F, F. The first P is for P1, then M is for meiosis, and then G is for gametes, and then F is for fertilization, and another F is for F1 generation. So we'll be going for a short break, and then when we come back from short break, I'm going to guide you on how to deal with this type of genetic cross across the board. Thank you. Okay, welcome back, my lovely Lena. I was explaining something about P1, M, G, and then F, and then also F1. Remember, P1 stands for parents, the first set of parents, and then that F1 down there, first filial generation, is the first set of the offspring. Now, for parents to have offspring, so that you don't frame this, you understand what's happening there. For parents to have offspring, that F1 is offspring, or first filial generation, we must have the cross of meiosis. That's why we said PM. And then that meiosis, it forms gametes. That G stands for gametes. So in other words, parents, they are going to undergo the cross of meiosis to form gametes. And then those gametes, remember, we are talking about stem cell and egg cell, they're going to fertilize each other. That's why we talk about fertilization. And then ultimately, end up having the offspring. And the first filial generation, the first set of offspring. Now, for you just to write this, already I've got 2 marks, and those 2 marks are compulsory. When we mark, we need to check, and we realize that we have got P1 and F1. We give you 1 mark for that. And then if we check, we realize that we have got meiosis, you also have fertilization, you also get a mark for that. Already you've got 2 marks. So meaning that before you write paper 2, you know that from genetics, obviously, are getting too much. And remember, there's not even a single question paper that can be set without genetic cross. It's not going to be possible. Now, already you know that you have got too much left, like I've already indicated. Now, let me check. How do we write the genotype and the genotypes of the complete dominant, incomplete dominant, co-dominant, blood groups, and sex-linked inheritance? Now, complete dominance, number one, you need to know that it refers to a genetic cross where the dominant allele marks or blocks the expression of a recessive allele in a heterozygous condition. Don't worry, I'm going to give you an example because this is just a statement. It may end up confusing. But now you need to know that it refers to a genetic cross where the dominant allele masks or blocks the expression of a recessive allele in a heterozygous condition. Remember, hetero means different. Now let me give you an example here. Let me say we write capital letter B and small letter B. Can you see that capital letter B and small letter B are not the same? Then we say they are heterozygous. Because hetero derived from Greek words meaning different. In other words, here, if it's capital letter B and small letter B, that is the heterozygous condition. And then maybe they say B is dominant, and then small b is recessive. So in other words, that capital letter B, which is black for argument's sake, is going to mask that small letter B, which stands for white now. It stands for white. I was telling my learners to say, in a school, we've got the principal, but the deputy, we don't say the deputy manager, we say the deputy principal. Maybe you may be asking yourself a question, now why? We're talking about black and also white. Then you say capital letter B for black, and then white, instead of writing small letter W, why do we write small letter B? Because we started with capital letter B, then here we're supposed to write another B, but this B should be small letter to indicate that it is specific. You will see where we write W for white and where we write B for black. One will be dealing with incomplete dominance and co-dominance. But now, for complete dominance, because when you talk about complete dominance, you know that the other color dominates the other one completely. And then in this case, when you're talking about the genotype or any heterozygous condition, I use an example of capital letter B and small letter B. I said this is the heterozygous condition. Now, if this capital letter B masks the specific one, which is small letter B, and in this case it's white, and then all the offspring that are produced, you realize that are all black. Obviously, the black color dominates white completely. That's all of complete dominance. Now, when we write the phenotype, I'm going to give the phenotype of each and every dimension that I'm going to explain here. And the challenge now is, when we write the genotype are going to be different from each other. Now, I'll use only one type of phenotype so that at least you are able to see the difference between complete dominance, incomplete dominance, and also co-dominance. Now, let us start with the genotype of complete dominance. Or let us start with the phenotype first. You write the phenotype, just write black, crossed with white, just write cross, in this case, like multiplication sign. Black times white, although it's not times, it is crossed with white. Then write equal sign and write black. Can you see now this phenotype we're talking about black, crossed with white, and then ultimately all the offspring that are produced, you realize that all of them are black. Then we say this is complete dominance because black dominates white completely. Now, how do we then write the genotype? For black, you write capital letter B, capital letter B. And then for white, you write small letter B, small letter B. In other words, genotype, you're going to write capital letter B, crossed with, crossed, you write a multiplication sign. It's like multiplication sign, but from a genetic point of view, we call it cross. You know that because we're crossing the parents. Then that's capital letter B, crossed with, small letter B, small letter B. And then when we do genetic crossing, you will realize that we're going to end up having capital letter B, small letter B, capital letter B, small letter B, capital letter B, small letter B, capital letter B, small letter B. Because the first B of capital letter, we're going to cross it with the second B on the right-hand side of the equal side, of the cross side. Then we'll end up having capital letter B and small letter B. The very same B again, we cross it with another B, small letter B on the right-hand side of the cross sign, then we end up having capital letter B, small letter B. Now, when we're done, the other B, the second capital letter B now, we're going to cross it with small letter B, again, with another small letter B, then That's why I said, we're going to take letter B, small letter B, take letter B, small letter B, take letter B, small letter B, and then take letter B, small letter B. When you check, all the offspring that are produced are all black, although it's heterozygous that's black. But as far as the phenotype is concerned, you don't say heterozygous. We're not dealing with phenotype. Heterozygous is when we deal with the genotypes. But the most important thing that I want to bring forth to you is that all these offspring are black. In other words, black dominates white completely. Then we talk of complete dominance. Now, the second one is incomplete dominance. I'm sure you've realized how we write this. The genotype. I said black, we write capital letter B. For white, instead of writing small letter W, we write small letter B. Why? Because this is the example that I just given to say, in a school, if we have the principal, the deputy is not the deputy manager, the deputy principal. Can you see that the word principal is applicable in both instances? Now, in this case, because black is the principal, is the one who is dominant. Now, this white, instead of having W, we are going to write B again. Principal, deputy principal. Manager, deputy manager. Now, but with incomplete dominance, this one refers to a genetic cross between two phenotypically different parents producing an offspring different from both parents, but with the intermediate phenotype. Let me repeat what I've just outlined. I said incomplete dominance. It refers to a genetic cross. You may also write genetic cross between two phenotypically different parents. Another phenotype is the outer appearance. In this case, let me talk about black and white again. Can you see that black and white are the phenotype? And then remember thinking about the parents in this case. Then they're different from each other. That's what I'm saying. It is first a genetic cross between two phenotypically different parents, black and white, as an example, producing an offspring different from both parents, but with an intermediate phenotype different from both parents, meaning that the offspring is not going to have a black color and it's not going to have the white color, because these are the colors of the parents that are different from where we observe that the phenotypes are different from each other. But now when we check the offspring now, these offspring, maybe you realize that the offspring, all of them are gray. Can you see that gray color? Different from black and white. But this gray color, if we do it literal, you mix a black paint and also a white paint. The color of the paint that you're going to get from these two is going to be gray. Can you see that this gray is the intermediate color? Normally, in my subject, I use in is supposed to be in, meaning that the incomplete dominant, the first two letters in, then intermediate, the first two letters in. So in other words, intermediate, incomplete dominance. Now, how do we write the phenotype? The phenotype, we're also going to write black crossed with white. You write equal sign, then you write gray. But now, when we write the genotypes, remember I said I'm going to use the same types of phenotypes, that is black and white, so that at least you are able to see how the genotypes of complete dominance, genotypes of incomplete dominance, and genotypes of co-dominance are written, how they differ from each other. Now, let me repeat what I said. You said phenotype. Remember, I dealing with incomplete dominance. You write black crossed with white. Then you write equal sign. Then you write gray. So remember that gray is the intermediate color between black and white. And the intermediate, but on the other hand, what is interesting is that it's different from both the genotypes of both parents. Now, how do you write the genotype? Then for black, you're going to write capital letter B. Cross with white, you write capital letter W. Can you see now that you are not going to write small letter B? You write capital letter W, because it's not complete dominant. It is incomplete dominant. Now, when you cross this, obviously, I'm going to have BW, 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 and then BW. that in this case it will be gray. Why gray? Because the third one is called black and white, the color becomes gray. So in that genotype it symbolizes gray. If it is BW. Now with co-dominance, co means equal. That's why we talk of colleagues, meaning that we belong to the same lake. We talk of colleagues and co-worker and so on and so on. Now, when we talk about co-dominance, co means equal. Now, in this case, this one refers to a genetic cross in which both alleles are equally expressed in the phenotype. I'm also going to give you the same example of the phenotype. Just write phenotype. You write black cross with white. It's equal to. You write equal distribution of black and white. Now, the genotype. For black, you are going to write capital letter D. Cross with white, you write capital letter W. Now, when you check this, you are going to have capital letter D. Let me simplify it like this. It's going to be BW. Can you see that it's similar to incomplete dominance? So in other words, co-dominance and incomplete dominance are just the same. But the difference is going to lie on the phenotype of the first filial generation, that is, phenotype of the offspring. Now, because when you take the BW of incomplete dominance, remember that this BW is gray. But this BW that we're talking about here for co-dominance, because co means equal, meaning that the offspring that are going to be produced, you realize that the first offspring has got black and white color. The second offspring, black and white color. Third offspring, black and white color. Can you see that these black and white colors of the phenotypes of the parents are equally represented in the offspring? Very simple and straightforward. Now, how do we write the genotype in this case now? Genotype, you are going to write capital letter D for black, and then cross with capital letter W for white, like I already indicated, BW, when talking about the genotype of the offspring. Now, from here, we move to the blood groups. We move to the blood groups. Blood groups, remember, we've got blood type A, we've got blood type B, we also have blood type AB, and also blood type O. And remember, blood type A is dominant, blood type B is dominant also, blood type AB is co-dominant. The only blood group that is recessive is O. In other words, O is recessive. Now, what is interesting to check how their genotypes are written, because as I indicated when I started with this part, I said normally the genotypes are different, but crossing is the same. They are going to use the formula that I gave you to say, the Gima Supua gets rid of forever, in that P for T1, M for meiosis, gets that G for gamete. Favor, that F stands for facialization. Forever, then right F1, that is for F1 generation, that is the first filial generation. Then you are going to use it across these five categories. But the most important thing is to know how the blood groups are written. Now, the blood group of A, B, and AB, I want you to write the genotype. Write capital letter I, just next to A, in that next to blood type A, and then write another capital letter I, next to blood type B, write another capital letter I, next to blood type AB. Now, if you check this string, it's like that, that's the same, because it's I, capital letter I, Capital letter I. Why capital letter? Because dominant. But for recessive, because recessive means small, so you are going to write small letter I. Now, from here, this three, you won't know that this is the blood type of A, this is blood type of B, this is blood type of AB. Now, the fact that you have recent, why? Because you have registered K plus I. So I'm sure you are doing math or math is shape. When you say 4 squared, or 4 to the second power, 4 is the base, and then that small 2, that is just going to be the exponent. Now, we are going to deal with this genotype, like when we write the exponent and also the base. So now, those K plus I are written as the basis. But now for blood type A, they are going to write K plus A as the exponent. In other words, it's going to be I exponent A, then that's blood type A. And this blood type B, you write I exponent B, and the I exponent B. Remember, all of them should be K plus. But for co-dominant, that is AB, you write I exponent A and then I exponent B. But for recessive, you write small letter I. But it's also possible to write the heterozygous for A and B. Heterozygous blood type A, you could write I exponent A and small letter I. But for blood type B, you write I exponent B and small letter I. Very simple and straightforward. Now we are going to go for break, and then when we come back from your break, we'll be continuing with the sex-linked inheritance now. And then from there, I'm also going to give you some of the examples to differ from what I've been presenting. Thank you. Welcome back, my love learners. This is the last section now. Then we are dealing with the sex-linked inheritance. Remember, I was busy with the blood groups. And then I'm sure you saw how we write the genotypes. Up to now you understand how to write the genotypes of complete dominance, how to write the genotypes of incomplete dominance, how to write the genotypes of co-dominance, how to write the blood groups of and the genotypes of the blood groups. Hence, I said the crossings are the same. The only difference lies on the genotypes. Now, the last part, it is E, which is the sex-linked inheritance. Then, maybe you need to know what is sex-linked inheritance. Then after defining it, it's then that I'm going to guide you. There's an argument on remission based on meiosis. Now, sex-linked inheritance are the traits or characteristics that are carried on the sex chromosome. Let me repeat what I just said. I said sex-linked inheritance are traits or characteristics that are carried on the sex chromosome. Remember, the sex chromosome, we are talking about the chromosomes. Now, when we revise the topic of meiosis, remember we said a cell of a human being, remember I'm talking about the somatic cell or the body cell, consists of 46 chromosomes, and then I said these chromosomes are arranged in pairs. In other words, because they are 46, then obviously we are going to have 23 pairs. Pair number 1 up to 22, and this is called the autosomes. In fact, there are body chromosomes. Our scientific name is going to be the autosomes. And then pair 23 is called the sex chromosomes, but the scientific name is gonosomes. And then if pair 23 consists of X and Y, then that karyotype is the karyotype of a male. But if pair 23 consists of X and X, then that karyotype is the karyotype of a female. Maybe one may be wondering, what is the karyotype? Karyotype is the arrangement of chromosomes in a cell according to size and shape. I normally give this example to my learners to say, if now I start to arrange you accordingly, let me say, I say, trolley to trolley, and then fatty to fatty, slender to slender, shorty to shorty. Can you see that I'm arranging according to size and shape? Now, this chromosome, when they are arranged like that, according to size and shape in a cell, then we talk of the karyotype. Now, if pair 23 is X and Y, then that is the karyotype of a male. But if it's X and X, that is the karyotype of a female. just from here, examiner may end up asking questions based on the biological context. To say the chromosome that determines sex, then you know that those are the sex chromosomes or the chromosomes. Then if examiner says the chromosomes that do not determine sex, obviously those are the body chromosomes, but scientific name you might write autosomes. Very simple. Now, because I didn't sex link disorders, then or inheritance, now I'm going to check the disorders that have been outlined by your SM guidelines. They said you should know the sex-linked inheritance of hemophilia and also the color blindness. What is interesting with regard to these two types of disorders is that maybe before that, I want to guide you about this disorder, because when you say disorder, you must know what is it that is all about. Disorder, if you tell you that is a compound word made up of dis and order. So in other words, when you talk about chromosomes in a cell, more especially a human one, let me say what I put to 46. I'm sure to remember when you talked about the Down syndrome, non-detection of patent 1, where we end up having 3 chromosomes at patent 1, and we talk of patent 1, which is Down syndrome, meaning that there's no order now. And that we add prefix this, then it again the whole segment talk about disorder. So a lot of disorders, like when you talk about albinism, that is a disorder. When you talk about as you said before, Progeria syndrome, that is disorder again. Kleinbecher syndrome, disorder. Kleinacker syndrome, that is disorder, although as lovers they are talking about hemophilia and also color blindness. But what is interesting about these two disorders is that they say they are caused by the recessive gene on the X chromosome. So in other words, you are going to have you write X and then exponent small letter H. Remember, recessive means small. In other words, you are going to talk about X as a base now and then that H, but small letter H, because they say it is caused by the recessive gene on the X chromosome. In other words, I'm going to write X exponent small letter H. Now, but on that note, we are going to check the genotype of a male who is normal, and then the genotype of a male who is suffering from hemophilia, the genotype of a female who is normal homozygous and normal heterozygous, and the one who is suffering from hemophilia. Let us start with the male. Let me say, examiner, request you to write the phenotype of a male with hemophilia. Just write phenotype. Write male with hemophilia. Now, if you are supposed to write the genotype of this, remember, number one, you write XY first. Why do you write XY? You write XY as the basis. Then, from there, you are going to consider the disorder. You write the disorder as the exponent now. Now, you check the statement again, because they're saying male with hemophilia. I remember we said hemophilia is caused by the recessive gene on the X chromosome, not the Y chromosome, on the X chromosome. Now, in other words, recessive, we're going to write small letter. Then, after writing XY, you go back to say, oh, this disorder is caused by the recessive gene on the X chromosome, because this person is suffering from hemophilia, and that I must write small letter H, and Y, just above the X. But because it attacks only the X chromosome, then you are going to end up having X small letter exponent H, then also have Y. Or you may simply write XY first, then write a small letter H just above X. In other words, it will be X exponent H and then Y. Very simple. Now, the phenotype of a normal male, nearly the same male, because it's a sexual disorder, you write XY first before you write the disorder so that you don't get confused. Now, you need to say normal, and that's a good statement again. When they say normal, you know that, oh, I'm a flesh code by the recessive gene. But when they say normal, and that I'm going to write the opposite. In other words, here I'm going to write the capital letter. Then you end up writing the capital letter H. Why? Because this person is normal. Now, you write XY first. Then because this disorder takes the X chromosome, not the Y, you write exponent 80, but capital letter. In other words, you could get X exponent capital letter H and then 1. Very simple. Now, we're done with the name, how to write the genotype of a male with hemophilia, and how to write the genotype of a female, and or a male again, with normal, and that without hemophilia. Now, for the female, you write down phenotype, you write female with hemophilia, female with hemophilia, and then the genotype, you write XX first. Why do you write XX? You write XX as a basis, then you set the chromosome or the karyotype of a female. When we check patent recurrence, why are we keeping on saying patent recurrence? Patent recurrence. Remember, we said patent recurrence is the sex chromosomes. So, in other words, when we check patent recurrence with the sex chromosome and we find that that is X and X, then we know that this is the karyotype of a female. That's why, with regard to this one also, because we are dealing with the female. The phenotype, we said it's female with hemophilia, but when we write the genotype, we write capital letter X and capital letter X first. Then, because this person is suffering from hemophilia, then we write small letter H, small letter H. In other words, we are going to have the following: X exponent H, X exponent H. Don't forget that those two H's are small letters. Why small letters? Because hemophilia is caused by the specific gene, and they are saying this person is suffering from hemophilia. Now, let us take the female, again, the normal female, but homozygous. So when they say the normal female, number one, you write XX first as the basis, then the disorder you are going to write as the exponent. Now, here you are going to write, because it's homozygous, you write capital letter H, capital letter H. Why? Because this person is normal. And then, remember, it is suffering from, she's suffering from, that is order, we write small letter H, small letter H. But now that is normal, we write the opposite. In other words, we write capital letter A, capital letter H. In other words, we're going to have X exponent capital letter H, and then X exponent capital letter A. Very simple and straightforward. Now, sometimes the examiner end up saying a normal female, the phenotype of a normal female, but this female is heterozygous. The female is heterozygous, or sometimes they say it's a carrier. So in other words, this person is normal, but can transfer this disease to the offspring, then we say this person is a carrier. Now here, the person that was supposed to write, you write XY, I'm sorry, XX first. Why do you write XX? You write XX because that is the karyotype of a female. In most instances, like I already outlined, I said patent the carrier as long as it's XXX. The male patient depends on the sex chromosome. Then you write XX. Then means that that's a karyotype of his name. Now, because this person is heterozygous, remember hetero derived from Greek word and indifferent. So in other words, here, you are going to write capital letter H and then small letter H as the exponent. In other words, you are going to have X exponent capital letter H and then X exponent small letter H. Can you see that capital letter H and small letter H is heterozygous? Now, just from here, before we deal with the genetic cross, because the genetic cross I'll be dealing with them next week, but from there I'm also going to give you something based on the diapric crossing, and also we'll also touch the genetic engineering. Remember, genetic engineering is based on stem cells, genetic modification, and also cloning. We'll be discussing that. I'm also going to touch the part of mutation. Now, but the most important that I want to bring forth with regard to this one is that sometimes examiner, like I've already outlined today, according to your syllabus, you need to know color blindness and also hemophilia. What is interesting about color blindness and is that it is also caused by the recessive gene on the X chromosome again. But now the challenge is, are you going to write X exponent for color blindness, or do you write X exponent B? Because this is normally confused learner. I want you to write it down right now. Just write color blindness, and write it is caused by the recessive gene on the X chromosome. It's called the recessive gene on the X chromosome. Then write X as a base. And write small letter B as exponent, not C, for color blindness, because the disorder is blindness, not color. So that is a color blindness. So you write X, B. So you are going to repeat the very same method that I just outlined, like the way we've been dealing with the hemophilia. Now, but sometimes examiner, I still remember 2015, there was one of the questions that was set, it was during cell examination, where they talked about Gold syndrome. Gold syndrome, G-O-L-T-Z, Gold syndrome. They said it's caused by the dominant gene, not recessive in this case, dominant gene. In other words, you need to see X exponent D, because they said we should use capital letter D and then and small letter D. So in this case, because this disorder is caused by the dominant gene, you need to see X exponent D, then you know that this person is suffering from the disorder. But you need to see X and exponent small letter D. It is the opposite of what we discussed there, because when we deal with hemophilia, you need to see small letter, you know that this person is suffering from the disorder. But in this case, because this one is called the dominant gene, you need to see capital letter, you know that this person is suffering from this disorder. But when you see small letter, then you know that this person is normal. It's the opposite. Very, very interesting. I love genetics. Normally, it tests your IQ. And then, obviously, if you keep on practicing, like when you do mathematics, obviously, you're going to do quite well. Now, in my concluding statement, I want to guide you again about what I just outlined. We talked about genetics, and then I was giving you the definition of genetics. How do we define genetics? In simpler terms, because in fact, it goes ahead in class with the DNA. Because we talked about genetics and the genes, we said that one portion of the DNA can see that they're linked to each other. That's why when we check the paternity test, we check the DNA profiling. In that, we're going to check the genes now. So that's very, very important. They are interrelated. And last time, remember, I was telling you that great, that's not even a simple subject that is very simple compared to class and synagogue, because it's conscientious about a lot of things that you were not aware of. Now, as I conclude again, I said the genetic cause is just the same. There's not even a single question paper that will come without genetic cause. But now, is that the examiner is going to require you to give the genetic cause of complete dominance, or the genetic cause of incomplete dominance, or genetic cause of co-dominance, or genetic cause of blood group, or genetic cause of sexual disorder? But now there are also high order questions here under settling disorder. Sometimes they say, why do you think hemophilia attacks male more than female? Let's write it down. Why hemophilia attacks male than female? Let's write it down like this. Now, I normally give this example to say, if I've got only one eye, and then somebody has got two eyes, and then in my case, you realize that one eye becomes distracted. Obviously, I'm not going to see, I'm blind. But the person is having two eyes, and if one eye is distracted, obviously the other eye is going to be able to see. Now, or it's going to be, the person is going to be able to see using the other eye. Now, because as males, we've got only one X. This is how exactly what we're going to write. You simply say, a male has got one X, you get a mark, whereas female has got two X, or has got X and X, then you get another mark. Then you indicate that if a male gets the recessive gene, then obviously the person is going to suffer from the disorder. But if the female has the recessive gene, but the other X, if I'm to be more specific, we are dealing with these two X, the other X has got small letter, H, if we are talking about hemophilia, but the other X has got small and capital letter H. Meaning that obviously this person, although he has got small letter H, but he's still going to be normal. Why? Because calculator H dominant over monitor H means that the person or the females have a chance of surviving or not being affected by this disorder. Very, very simple. And when this question, type of question is asked, it's like very difficult. Whether just need you to outline what I've just outlined right now. So we're done, and then like I indicated, on Saturday, we're going to meet again from 9 to 10 in the morning. I'll be busy with continued genetics, like I indicated, the genetic engineering. Bye-bye.
This grade 12 lesson was proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more, providing quality education.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.